But I had like, there was one guy on Twitter who was like, you know, these people, they're obviously smart. Why aren't they building something that can change the world? And my response to them is, sometimes you need to change your world before you change the world. If you're able to take out a million, 2 million, 3 million, whatever it is, and retire your parents, or, you know, give to a cause you care about, or buy your first house, or just get financial stability, like that, you know, what people call your nut, your first nut, you know, it's like the base of capital that you can sort of grow, then I say kudos to these people. All right, perfect. Well, let's just get into it then. This is going to be something new. I haven't done this before on the podcast, but you asked me, you said, hey, I got a bunch of things I want to talk to you about. Usually it's the other way around. Usually I'm like, I'm just asking the questions, but now you're going to ask the question. So excited to see where this goes.
Well, the reason I messaged, for anyone listening, I messaged Greg yesterday and I was like, so many of the things that I just want to talk to you about, I think your audience would find interesting to listen to, because most of the episodes are like interview episodes. The one I was on with you, it's an interview, and people get to learn a lot about the other people you're interviewing. But actually, I have a strong suspicion episodes that are focused more on just interesting things that are happening in the Gregorverse might actually even do better. And there was a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about, and like basically a couple of things in your Twitter that I was messaging you about. And I was like, let's just talk about this in a recorded fashion and see what comes up. So the first thing, I mean, you posted, I think a couple of days ago, something kind of crazy. And it's this Riz app. This is insane. This AI dating coach, what you posted was an AI dating coach built on top of ChatGPT, making $190,000 per month, 333,000 downloads per month. And the founder got the idea from a Tinder subreddit. So I purposely didn't dig into this because I was going to ask you about it and just ask you what you think of it. So what do you think about that? Do you think that's like an entire new business world, or do you think it's just hype? Like, do you think this is a one-off thing, or do you think something like that, this is sustainable? And actually, can you also tell me what this fucking thing is?
Yeah. And I have a funny story about that. So, but before I get into the funny story, so I saw that post on Reddit. I'm always on Reddit and I'm always just scouring for what's happening. And I actually recommend like subscribing to 10, 15 subreddits and like startup stuff. So that was the SaaS subreddit. And I just find interesting stuff there. So I saw that on this SaaS subreddit, and I think you're just going to see more of that sort of stuff. So what did someone do? Someone basically took a ChatGPT wrapper and focused it on companionship and dating. And the more interesting thing is the founder reached out to me and he was like, by the way, dude, that this isn't the only app that we have. So that guy, here's what he said. Give me a second. I'm going to pull it up.
But can I ask you, just while you're looking for that, what do you mean? So I'm kind of maybe don't fully understand all this chat GPT stuff. How do you just like train it on more companionship thing? Do you know how this works? Like, what's the thing that he did that's special to all the other rappers? Do you understand that? I have no idea. I don't get it.
The beauty is you don't need, it doesn't need to be special from like a product perspective. It's just it's completely marketing. And what matters in ChatGPT wrappers is really just like the brand. Is this something that people are going to tell their friends about? So like, for example, the number one of the top ChatGPT app apps right now is it's called Riz, R-I-Z-Z. And that's what the kids are calling, you know. You know,
Riz.
It's Riz, Riz, right? So
you got that Riz, Greg.
I appreciate that.
You got that Riz.
But I think like the name matters more than anything. And then sort of the branding, the referral flows within the app as well. Like, how do you invite your friends to it? So anyways, I posted that on Twitter from that SaaS subreddit. And then the founder reaches out to me and he says, By the way, incredible email. Just like so short and sweet. He goes, "Hi, Greg. I'm sure you're busy, so I'm keeping this email brief. Number one, I love you already, by the way. If you're numbering things, I love you already."
I love that too.
Yeah. Number one, I'm 23 and recently co-founded a small development studio. Three-person team, hiring more now. So
cool.
Amazing. This is a 23-year-old who built this. Incredible. Doing $190,000 a month.
I hate him and I love him.
I hate him and love him already. Number two, we've launched 3 apps so far and are closing in on $500,000 of revenue per month.
I wonder how much of that is profit. I wonder what the margin is.
My guess is Apple takes a third, right? So my guess is, 65% plus. And then he lists the names of the 3 apps that he's working on and links it. Thanks for linking it. Plug AI, Astra, Palette. We'll come back to that. Then he says, number 3, I'd love to connect over a call to learn from you. My schedule is very flexible. Feel free to text, call anytime, by the way. And then he puts his phone number.
This is something, this texting and calling thing, that's coincidental. My phone just pinged. That's something that came up yesterday in a session with a mutual acquaintance of ours called Blake. I'm going to put that in a line here for networking and making deals for something I want to ask you later. But I've just written that down. It's a big coincidence that you focused on this texting and calling thing from his email, because there's something very special about that.
Very special. And he's being like empathetic, and it's just a smart email, a really, really smart
email. It's not cocky. It's not egotistical. He's like, he could have said, I'm super busy, so let's see if we can find a slot. But he said, I'm super flexible. Just text me anytime. There's something very clever about that.
So like the takeaway is really, if you want to connect to someone, to anyone, and everyone's busy, right? Everyone's busy. Just be like, here's my phone number, text me, and then we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out from there. It's as simple as that.
It's literally, I just got to show you this. Actually, I can't show you my number, but maybe I can blur this out. This is literally what I just sent to one of our sales guys, because they pulled in a pretty big lead. Just give them my number and we'll chat. It's like a large corporate, and they're not used to someone from a company just saying, here's my phone number, let's talk straight away, let's text. But I've realized some of the biggest corporate deals, you and I talked about this earlier this week, and I forgot to mention this, and I've been testing it this week. Some of the biggest old school American corporate deals that I've closed have been like mostly text messaging.
Yeah. I think also like moving it to text, it just like feels like you've taken it to the next level. Like, it's like you've invited someone into your home. So it's also just like, now you have each other's phone numbers. You can text each other. Oh, hey, I saw this article. I think you might like it. It's a hack. But going back to...
It's definitely...
Yeah, it's a hack. But going back to this guy, Alex, what's really smart is he's got 3 apps, and his company's called AI Riz. So he's got Plug AI, which is a texting assistant, which is the one I posted about. So it's, you upload combos. Basically, like, you can screenshot your text messages and they'll give you pickup lines based on that.
Right.
And they call it like the ultimate AI Riz. And so he's got that. Then he's got Astra, which is life advice. So... Really smart. Like, if you, I'm looking through the App Store description. This is how they describe it. Work through life's challenges. Talk about compatibility with friends and romantic interests. Discuss personal growth. Learn about your dreams. All this and more at your fingertips with Astra. And then the third one is called Palette. And it says, with Palette, getting your color season is as simple as taking one selfie. Palette uses state-of-the-art AI to determine your color season and generate a custom color palette, personalized style and makeup suggestions, and more. So what has this, exactly? So what has this person done that's brilliant? They're basically doing coaching, but in 3 different verticals.
Yeah. AI coaching.
Yeah, AI coaching. So it's brilliant because they're not building a lot of technology. They're leveraging what's out there. They're coming up with interesting brands around it and great positioning, really, really simple. And then they're focusing on, you know, they're not being the app for everyone, right? They're going, we're only doing dating coaching. We're only doing style and makeup.
So what's interesting about this for me, there's two things that come to mind. You probably know Peter Levels.
Yes.
From Twitter. He has this similar product called therapistai.com. Although he says transparently that it's only making $3,000 per month right now. I tested this out. It's pretty interesting because it's almost like doing a video call with a therapist, except it's AI generated image of a person, works through Telegram. But what all this makes me think when I'm thinking about someone making $190K per month with something like this using ChatGPT, what comes to my mind, I don't want to do this business. But if someone can make $190K per month, the thing that the people are looking for, a couple of people are just probably curious and just want to try it out for fun. But there's an amount of people in there that actually want this dating advice and actually want help with replying to people. And I think you could take a relatively large chunk of that if you took the same marketing power and took the same energy and kind of positioning and did it as a real, like a team, basically, if it was human, because that would be the way to kind of compete with a product like this and say, okay, this is $2 more, but there's actually like rizzed up humans on the other side. I don't know how people use the terminology, but you could actually take make a relatively good amount of money, I think, taking the concepts that people are saying, okay, now we're making human things AI and large scale, but taking like the marketing used for that and taking it back to human, but still relatively large scale at a higher price. I don't know. That would be the boring way I would take that apart and make another side business out of it.
Quick ad break. Let me tell you about a business I invested in. It's called boringmarketing.com. So a few years ago, I met this group of people that were some of the best SEO experts in the world. They were behind getting some of the biggest companies found on Google. And the secret sauce is they've got a set of technology and AI that could help you outrank your competition. So for my own businesses, I wanted that. I didn't want to have to rely on Mark Zuckerberg. I didn't want to depend on ads to drive customers to my businesses. I wanted to rank high in Google. That's why I like SEO, and that's why I use boringmarketing.com, and that's why I invested in it. They're so confident in their approach that they offer a 30-day sprint with 100% money-back guarantee. Who does that nowadays? So check it out. Highly recommend boringmarketing.com. I was just talking about this concept actually yesterday, and you bring up a really good point. So whenever there's a trend, there's always an anti-trend. And some of the most interesting startup ideas actually come from the anti-trend. So I'll give you an example. Trend, biohacking longevity. People are trying to optimize their health and they're trying to live forever. Enter Brian Johnson. Say what you will and how strange he is in terms of like...
I love Brian Johnson.
I know you would love Brian Johnson, by the way.
I think he's great. My girlfriend and I just watched his latest YouTube video and we both love him.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that you would love him, but he is polarizing. Like some people, you know...
No, everyone loves him. I've never seen anyone saying anything bad about Brian Johnson ever.
The naked pictures with him and his 18-year-old son is completely normal.
Okay, I didn't see that, but we get.
Yeah, we could.
I don't have an 18-year-old son, so I don't know, you know.
Right, totally.
I still love Brian. I'll stand by you, Brian.
Exactly. This is how good he is. Like, he can take photos naked with his 18-year-old son. And
at least it's his 18-year-old son.
And he's holding up, like, him and his son are holding, like, vials of blood.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, you know he's playing into this narrative of him being, like, a psycho and a weirdo.
Of course. So great. So Brian Johnson is riding that trend and creates a huge business on top of it. I think on his first day, he actually, like he built his audience for 2 years, didn't monetize it at all. And then the next, you know, recently he started a supplements and olive oil company and they sold $1.5 million of product in one day on a subscription.
Mainly to me.
honestly. I would say 75% to Jonathan Courtney.
Yeah, I have so much of the olive oil, it's actually disgusting. And I also got it as a gift for like everyone I know.
Of course you did. So, okay, you know, Brian Johnson's going on TV with like don't die t-shirts. What's the opposite of that? It's, well, the opposite is die. You know, the opposite of it is I'm going to live to 50, but every single day is going to be like hedonistic and amazing.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's going to, yeah. Who's the influencer of die?
Exactly. So what you were talking about, which is with AI and all these AI coaching and texting things, you're right. There's going to be an equal demand on the human side, and you might be able to charge a premium for it. And it actually might be a better business than some of these AI businesses.
Dude, think about it like this. This Riz app guy who's making 190K per month with the ChatGTP wrapper could easily offer a premium upgrade where it's a human doing it. And so it's just a stranger entry point into some coaching thing, rather than like, it's almost like you get a preview of what it would be like for someone to help you, you know, using Tinder. I don't know exactly what the product is doing. I assume it's like helping you respond to the messages, like you said. But imagine if you could add some human intervention to it, then you could upgrade to a different price. It does seem, I mean, maybe that's just not what this guy wants to do, but that could be an interesting way of having like a premium upgrade. But also, like you said, the anti-trend company could come along and say, well, you know that Palette app? This is the human version of Palette, where you actually have an influencer running it, and it's really me, and I'll really give you a voice message and whatever. I agree. Anti-trends are always worth looking out for.
Yeah, and usually with anti-trends, you actually have a lot less competition. So, for example, with this AI assistant stuff, it's just there's so many new products coming out every single day. So here, let me circle back to why it was a funny story with this Riz app thing. So turns out that there's another app. So, okay. So the guy who emailed me runs a company called AI Riz. That's his company. That's like his little web, his dev shop. Not to be confused with Riz.
Riz AI.
Which is the number one AI dating assistant app. So it's, when I go to their app, you know, their app store previews, it's literally the same app, pretty much the same app. It's very similar. Upload a screenshot, AI generated lines. It's the number right now, as we're recording this, it's the number 27 app in lifestyle. So there's another app that's making a couple hundred grand MRR. So then I get a text message from someone. I didn't have it in my address book. He goes, "Hey, Greg, how's it going? We spoke back when Sean Parker wanted me to recruit you for airtime, lol. A few people shared your post with me. Seems like there's a confusion. The app making 190K MRR is Plug AI. My app is Riz. We never listed it for sale."
Huh?
Yeah. So there's, and I was just like, I'm sorry. You know, I just wrote, that's confusing. Someone reached out.
Oh, I see. If you read the actual post, it says, The Riz is only mentioned when it says you can see some TikTok examples from a competitor called Riz.
That's right.
I also didn't read it. Well, clearly, I also misread it.
Totally. So
I like how long you let us go on, though.
Yeah.
Like 30 minutes of it being wrong.
We were wrong, yeah. And it just goes to show you that there's a ton of competition. It doesn't mean that there's not a lot of opportunities. There are. But I think if you want to build a Riz-like GPT wrapper, what I would do is I'd go to non-obvious use cases. Like dating is very obvious. Therapy is very obvious. So the only way, right now, like forget, like everyone's going after the obvious ones. So like make a list of like the non-obvious ones. And to your point, exactly. And then to your point, think about like the anti-Riz apps, you know, just go completely human.
What is, so we need a anti-Brian Johnson is me going on TV shows saying all I do all day is drink beer and have really bad heartburn, but I love it.
Yeah, I can't get enough of it.
I've been constipated for 3 years and I don't plan on fixing it.
Yeah, instead of like, you know how Brian Johnson shares his like biomarkers? You're just sharing like how long you've been constipated for.
It's starting to hurt.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go on these shows and I'm going to be like, yeah, I just took blood from a random person on the street and injected it into myself because we good.
Yeah.
We want to see how I want to get, I'm a 36 year old, but I'm trying to get all my body biomarkers up to a 96 year old. Come on, Brian.
You start living in like senior homes.
Yeah. Exposing myself to like really strong radiation.
Totally.
Eating white bread all day, yeah. Nothing else.
That's right.
Yeah. I do actually, I kind of have a bit of heartburn today, to be honest.
I love it.
Help me, Brian. So, okay. I don't know how long you want to make this episode. I brought a lot of stuff, dude.
The episode will end when the episode ends.
Well, I want to finish up on this Riz app thing. So what is this plug thing that's making 190K a month?
So
now I'm lost.
So, okay. Plug AI, which is basically Riz. It's a competitor to Riz. Plug AI.
It's a competitor. Okay. So it does something similar. Okay.
It does something similar. It's basically the same idea. I don't know. I don't know if he copied it. Like, I don't know who came first. I don't know enough about the situation.
Doesn't matter,
but it basically is the same app. And in addition, I think what was smart about the...
Why is it called Plug?
Like, you're the plug.
I mean,
a plug means like... I mean, now we sound like some older guys just like explaining.
I'm European. I have an excuse. I don't know about these things.
Like someone who, you know, who has access... And you is the plug, like you're the plug.
Oh, somebody who like could get you into a club or something.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
Oh, I thought it was, I had something different in mind and I'm not going to say it on this. I won't say it here, but I literally thought about a plug. Like I'm looking here at like a plug board where you plug stuff into. And I'm like, the app has a pretty risky name, actually.
Risky.
Okay. Risky. Risky name. Okay, so plug is like someone who can give you access. Okay. Okay, so the app that's making 190K per month is Plug.
Correct.
And do you think they'll be able to keep this up, or do you think this is like one of these flash in the pans for 2 months, they're gonna make money out of it and then it's done?
So what I
think, like, would you invest in this? Would you invest in the guy who's making all these apps? Do you think this is a sustainable way of running a business? Like having these kind of quick, hypey things.
So what's smart about what this guy is doing is he's not putting all his eggs in the Riz basket, right? He has three apps now in different spaces. So even if one, you know, gets screwed, he's got a couple others. That being said, he's still built on top of GPT. So like, you know, OpenAI could decide to like charge 50x. With their
no more plug,
and that would suck, and that's a real risk of the business. That being said, when I tweeted about this app, I got so many people being like, this is so dumb, it's a flash in the pan, like it's gonna only last 1 month, they're building on top of, you know, OpenAI, they're gonna shut them down. And my take on that is, okay, but like,
so what?
This guy's making $500,000 a month in revenue.
Yeah. He's also learning how to run a business. The skills that he's learning while doing this are going to be transferable to whatever he makes next.
I mean, just from a financial perspective, if he's making $350,000 of profit per month and he makes, you know, close to 4 million, he'll make, if this lasts for 12 months, which I think isn't crazy, you know, he's going to make $4 million. Would I invest in something like this? Like, absolutely. Just knowing that there's risks, and the way I would invest wouldn't be like, I want equity. It would be like, hey, I want like a profit share of this thing.
Yeah. Give me a profit share. Yeah. It's not a guy who's trying to like have some massive IPO or a crazy exit. It's just, let's make some profit.
Yeah. But I had like, there was one guy on Twitter who was like all over me about how this is a bad way to start a business. And my belief is like, not necessarily if you know the risks associated with it. And if you're able to take out a million, 2 million, 3 million, whatever it is, and retire your parents, or, you know, give to a cause you care about, or buy your first house, or just get financial stability, like that, you know, what people call your nut, your first nut. I knew you'd like that one. You know, it's like the base of capital that you can sort of grow. Then I say kudos to these people.
This is the clip for the start of the episode, if you want to do the little preview, because I would want to know what we're talking about if I was listening to this. No, but I agree. I think that's a very practical, I think sometimes practicality is missing from Twitter business people. This is actually what I like about your tweets, which is why I actually message you after you post something. And I'm like, wait, what about this and this and this? There is a lack of financial practicality to a lot of business advice. Like that's one of the things that I noticed when I was, when I'm working with mentors sometimes, and they're like, it's about changing the world, it's about having the vision. And I'm like, I'm still trying to make money. Like I'm still, you know, I'm not financially independent. I'm still trying to, as you said, I'm not, is it a thing to say to get my nut?
It's a thing.
Okay. I don't know if I want to have, if I'm going to trust you with that big smile on your face.
Just say it so we can clip
and then
it.
You clip it. Yeah. But honestly, I think this is, yeah, that's a really good point. That gives them like a foundation to try other things. And yeah, I think people arguing, when you post anything, people want to find the reason why something's not going to work, because that also makes them sound smart, you know? So
totally.
It doesn't really matter. You must get a lot of that because you have a lot of people following you and you're very opinionated.
Someone was like, why, you know, these people, why they're obviously smart, but why aren't they building something that can change the world? And my response to them is, sometimes you need to change your world before you change the world. Mic drop.
Boom.
You know what I'm saying?
Boom. Boom. That's the sip. Wait, we got to take a sip on that one.
On that one, that's a quick sip.
It's still kind of a sip, kind of a sip if it kind of sticks a little bit.
You're the anti Brian Johnson.
I want to get a t-shirt that just says Brian Johnson with extreme constipation and heartburn.
Totally. Or just get a t-shirt that says 36-year-old in a 90-year-old body.
I'm trying to get my triglycerides up to 400. I don't know, like imagine 50 is normal or something. I'm trying to win the game by putting all of the numbers up, no matter what they are.
God bless you.
Gout. I want my gout levels at 7,000. I'm not going to go. I think that this being short and sweet is going to be good. So I'm just going to actually skip the other thing that I wanted to talk about and ask you, are you going to get the new 8 Sleep?
I sent it to my wife. So I have the 8 Sleep. You know, I'm a sleep nerd. We talked about it.
Dude, I have 2 8 Sleeps. I'm like struggling right now with what to do. I'm like, I only got them less than a year ago.
So new 8 Sleep came out, for those who don't know.
Pod 4 Ultra.
Yeah. And the only thing, the coolest thing about it, in my opinion, is the fact that you could move your bed up and down. Like there's like a motor in it.
Hospital bed.
Yeah. It's so wild. And that is really cool because I don't know if you're like reading in bed and you know, I think that's a huge thing. Like what I do now is I put like literally 6 pillows on top of each other and like,
yeah,
I'm like trying to, and my wife is like, what are you doing? Like there's like a million pillows.
You're the first guy who's ever had a situation where the wife is asking why there's too many pillows.
Yeah.
Like literally I've never been, every single situation I've ever had has involved me thinking there's too many pillows in the bed.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's, she definitely looks at me strangely with the amount of pillows I require. But I can't be flat. Like if I'm going to read, I can't be flat.
You got to pay $4,500 to not be flat.
I didn't get this far in my life to lay flat.
Exactly. What is the point of doing all of this fucking shit if I have to lay flat? What, like a seal?
Totally. Yeah, that's really cool. But I would buy it if my side can go up and her side could stay.
This is what they're not making clear on the website. My girlfriend and I were talking about this too. If I'm snoring, so the idea with the Pod 4 Ultra, the update, the biggest updates are basically, number one, the bed can move so that you can, when you're snoring, it can kind of raise your head so that it stops you snoring. And you can put it in reading mode where the bed is a little bit more like a hospital bed. But I'm wondering, like, if I'm snoring and my girlfriend's not snoring, is that just going to like flip? Is it going to move both of our heads up, or is it just going to move my head up and kind of roll me out of the bed? And like, you know what I mean? It's not clear to me looking at the website what's going to happen. The thing that I like the most, the two features that I like the most are, one, they say it's quieter, 40% quieter, which I think is actually a really big deal. I was telling you in the last episode that one of my biggest issues with the Pod 3 is that it's quite loud. And the second thing is that they say you can't feel the pipes. I guess they don't like to call them pipes. You can't feel the little bumps in the bed that the cool water flows through. Whatever they call those, they call it like the array or something. I call them the pipes. Apparently, these are not, you can't feel them anymore. And I think that would also be a big deal. And it cools even more, although I never managed to, for me, it's like cold enough already. And you don't need your phone in the room anymore because you can just tap the bed to make it cooler or warmer, which is kind of cool.
That's really cool. Yeah, I think that to me is also like, that's the second favorite feature of it. Because I don't want to touch my phone at all, right?
I don't want to touch your phone either, man. It's filthy.
Yeah, it's filthy. So I think that's huge. And I just pulled up my sleep fitness report from last night, 92, you know.
Oh, that's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? Because, hello, baby, what do we got here?
99. Dude, you were asleep. You didn't even wake up once. You were like a log.
What's waking up? It's because I'm using the deep brown noise.
Oh, right.
I don't even know what waking up is. I don't even know what waking up is at night.
That's
anymore.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, to put a bow on the 8 sleep thing, my request for them is for one side to be able to come up and down. Otherwise, I don't know if I'm going to buy it. 100's insane. 100's sleep fitness are good work.
I need to be anti Brian Johnson, but I'm accidentally becoming Brian Johnson.
Yeah.
My perfect sleep scores. So what I'm going to do with, I think, is we're going to talk about them enough that they send us a free one each.
Yeah. Totally.
Like 8 sleep. If you send us a free Pod 4 Ultra, we'll test it out and give an honest review. As people who are struggling to get 100s every day.
Totally. I mean,
anti-brand. Yeah.
That's like another example of a startup idea is like you create a paid membership around sleep and you call it the 100 Club.
I like that.
It's all about getting to 100 and then you do membership where like you get just like probably some physical products that help you sleep, like an eye mask or a month or different things. And it's a community of people who like share their scores and you just like gamify the whole experience.
You run out of ideas on the third month already. So you send people an eye mask, you send people sleep supplements, you send people like a brown noise thing and you're like, I don't know what to do anymore. And you just stop sending it and hope people don't stop paying. It's just like, I can't think of any more ideas, guys. We're done. T-shirt. Well, the 100 Club is actually kind of a fun idea for tech people, like using the graphic that they use in the 8 Sleep app.
Yeah.
With the number, with the 100.
Totally.
And then there needs to be the anti-movement, the 0 Club.
Correct.
Which is about people who don't sleep at all.
Yes, exactly.
I love that. Dude, that's it. I have tons more ideas, but I think it's good to like give this sort of an episode a test run before overloading it too much. I think this is just as long as a normal episode. The sip.
Okay, well, if people like this episode, please, please let us know in the YouTube comments. Also, subscribe, follow on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, because that's the only way. Well, it's not the only way, but it's a great way to learn when new episodes are dropping. And subscribe to the YouTube. And of course, go to gregeisenberg.com. and subscribe to the newsletter, because there I'll also tell you when new episodes are dropping. And Jonathan, what do you have to say to end this?
The idea here is that I bring stuff for Greg to react to. I'm kind of like his like producer in the background being like, Greg, what do you think of this? And I get the advantage of hearing the answers and being able to scuttle off and take action on them. So I'm very excited about it. I'd love to do it more often, but obviously the audience has to find it interesting. So it's different from an interview show because it's basically just Greg giving his vibes on stuff. I think people would listen to that weekly. That's my feeling. And yeah, you should subscribe to this podcast you're listening to right now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and YouTube.
All right. Sip you later.
And Riz app.
Sip you later, Jonathan.
Sip you later. We got to end with a sip.